Our reading will be taken from John 15, 1-8, and then verse 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why every branch that does bear fruit be pruned so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ada. So today is Harvest Sunday. Harvest Sunday is all about being productive. It's about growing. It's about harvesting crops, producing fruit. And the question I just want to ask at the end of this service really is, how productive, how fruitful is your life? And looking at these verses, John 15 is all about producing fruit. Specifically about producing grapes that were used for multiple purposes in Jesus' day, including producing the wine that was so important in Israel's worship and festivals. And in John 15, Jesus is giving a detailed description of viniculture, which is vine growing. He speaks about the vital importance of spring and autumn pruning to maximize fruit production. And we don't have time today to go into all the detail of what Jesus is saying, because it's quite significant. But I want to just bypass that to some extent, because Jesus is using viniculture as a spiritual analogy. He is telling us how to maximize spiritual fruit production in our lives. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you did basic biology at school, you will know that any plant, any tree, draws up its goodness from the soil through its roots. And we call that goodness, the thing that feeds the plant, we call it sap. That sap rises up the main stem of the plant and out into the branches and out into the leaves and the flowers and the fruits. And we all know, every single one of us knows, that if a branch is cut or broken away from the stem, it will immediately begin to wilt. It will immediately begin to die because the relationship to the stem has been broken. The sap can no longer flow, therefore it begins to die. And the branch will not be able to produce any fruit. It will cease to be fruitful. So the first question that we need to ask ourselves or ask you, are you connected to Jesus? Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are not connected to Jesus the vine, through whom all spiritual goodness flows, you will not be able to produce spiritual fruit in your life. It's as simple as that. You will not be able to produce spiritual fruit in your life because you are spiritually dead. Apart from Jesus, You can do nothing. Jesus says that here. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot be fruitful spiritually unless you are connected to Jesus. And that is why relationship with Jesus is all important in our lives. We need the sap of the Holy Spirit flowing from God the Father through Jesus the Son into our lives by the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, without the life of Jesus flowing through us, we cannot be alive. We cannot produce any spiritual fruit in our lives. We will be spiritually dead. The Bible tells us that we were created to be in relationship with God. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. Our Father is the gardener. Father God is the gardener. And you know, the first place that God created was a garden, the Garden of Eden, where God loved to walk and talk with Adam and Eve because he was in relationship with them. He had made them, they were in perfect relationship with God. And so he walked together with them in the garden. The Garden of Eden was paradise, wasn't it? It was a place of great fruitfulness. It was a place of great blessing. It was a place of abundance. It was a place of awesome beauty. It was a place of peace where there was no pain, where there was no suffering, where there was no fear, where there was no war, where there were no natural disasters, there were no economic crises, there was no anxiety, there was no stress, there was no disease, and there was no death. Wouldn't you want to live in a place like that? Garden of Eden, paradise, paradise. Wouldn't you be happy to trade in this life to gain paradise? That's what Barry's done this week. He's traded in this life for paradise, for life in paradise. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they threw it all away, didn't they? They threw paradise away. The relationship with God the Father was broken. The branch was broken from the stem, and the sap, the spiritual sap, stopped flowing. And so Adam and Eve and everything in the garden began to die physically and spiritually, didn't it? Everything began to die. Adam and Eve began to die, but the trees and the plants and everything else that had been wonderfully there in paradise began to die. Death came into the world, not only in terms of us human beings, but in terms of everything in creation began to die. That was not how God had created it. Death was no part of God's creation. But through Adam and Eve's sin, sin and death came into the world. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But God, praise God, why we're here celebrating and worshiping Jesus is that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Jesus paid the price for our sin so that we can be in relationship with God once again. He conquered death, that death that started in the Garden of Eden through the sin. He conquered death through his resurrection. Praise God. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we would have no hope. But he conquered death through the resurrection. And what does that mean? It means that we can live forever in a paradise restored. The Garden of Eden, paradise restored in perfect relationship with God once again through Jesus Christ. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about. No, forget about this idea of heaven floating around in a cloud with an old man with a white beard. It's going to be paradise restored. It's going to be the Garden of Eden restored. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where sin and death and pain and war and suffering and all of those things have disappeared forever. That's why we should be looking forward to going there, to be with Jesus. You know, this earth and all the stress and the strain which you're struggling with at the present time, it will be gone through Jesus Christ and his victory over death itself and sin. We will live in that new heaven and the new earth. We will rule and reign with him where he will walk in the garden with us, praise God. Relationship restored. You know, that's why we should be focusing a little bit more on heaven. You know, it's easier to focus on heaven a bit more as you get as old as I am. Because you realize by the rule of nature, you know, you're not going to, you know, we've just celebrated 40 years of ministry and people said, you know, well, how about the next 40 years? Well, I don't know about 40 years. I don't know about, you know, just a few years. You know, but we should all, whatever age we are, you know, not only be looking forward to that paradise, but recognize that Jesus is also coming back. And the way things are going in our world today, and with the offers of peace and everything else, you know, it's looking more and more likely that Jesus is coming back soon. But that's not something to be feared if you have repented of your sin and believed in Jesus Christ. Because we will live in a new heaven and a new earth. We will live in that paradise restored. But Jesus says the only way to be reconnected with God, for our relationship with God to be restored, the only way to live in paradise is to repent of our sin now, to believe in Jesus now and accept Jesus into our lives now, to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Because when we're born again by the Holy Spirit, we are back in relationship with God the Father. And the question to each one of us today is, are you connected to Jesus? Have your sins been forgiven? Are you on your way to that restored paradise that we call heaven, where Jesus will rule and reign and we will be in perfect relationship with God? Have you repented of your sin? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Have you been born again? Do you have that sap of the Holy Spirit rising up in your life through your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you following and obeying Jesus in your life? Are you producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Because if we're that sap of the Holy Spirit is flowing in our lives, what should there be more of? There should be more love. How much love is there in your life at the present time? There should be more of it if that Holy Spirit is flowing through us. Not only that, joy. My goodness, looking at you, we need a bit more filling of the Holy Spirit this morning. You know, yeah, you're just about to moan the fact that we had to dance outside of the building today, you know. You know, there should be joy. You know, if we really grasp what Jesus has done for us, if the Holy Spirit is flowing through us, there should be love, there should be more joy, there should be more peace. What was your household like before you got to church this morning, or maybe on your way to church, you know, with that driver who was holding you up or whatever? Patience, my goodness, that's another one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. By the fruit of your life, the fruit of my life, we will know who really has the Holy Spirit in their lives and who doesn't. In other words, what fruit comes out of your lives, out of your mouths, out of your actions, out of your thoughts, shows whether you are connected to Jesus or whether you're connected to the devil. So there's only the two options. There's not sitting on the fence here. It's one or the other. Jesus said, it's not possible for a good tree to produce bad fruit. Isn't that great? It's not possible for a good tree to produce bad fruits, or for a bad tree to produce good fruit. It's by our fruit that we will be known and judged. How productive is your life? What fruit comes from your life? Jesus alone is the source of life. He's the source of growth. He's the source of fruitfulness. And you and I will only have abundant life. We will only grow in our life. We will only have fruitfulness in our lives to the extent that we are connected to Jesus, the extent we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the final question is, are you remaining in Jesus? Jesus said in verses 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, it's another one thing to ask Jesus into your life. It's another thing to remain in Jesus. You know, many people started to follow Jesus when he was here on earth. But when Jesus started to do and say things they didn't like, they turned back and followed him no more. That's what John 6, verse 66 tells us. They turned back and followed him no longer because his teachings were too hard when he started to talk about taking up your cross and the fact that he was going to suffer and that those who followed him would suffer persecution. They said, no, we don't want any of that. We only want good stuff. We want the good stuff now. And they didn't remain in Jesus. And Jesus has strong words for those who do not remain in him. He says, they are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches will never produce good fruit. They are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. And Jesus is clearly there talking about the judgment day. People who do not remain in Jesus will be judged. But for those who remain in Jesus, Jesus makes some wonderful promises in these verses. He says they will bear much fruit. They will produce abundant fruit. And that fruit will bring great glory for them? No. Great riches for them? No. An easy life for them? No. It will bring great glory to God the Father. It will glorify God the Father. Secondly, abundant fruit will be the confirmation that they are disciples of Jesus. Are you wondering whether you are really a Christian or not? Ask someone who knows you really well what the fruit of your life is. That's a dangerous thing to do, particularly if you're married to them. But what is the fruit of your life? You know, but if there is that evidence of that fruit in their life, if there's that evidence of how much you have changed and how much you've grown as a Christian, you can be sure, you can be assured that you are truly saved, that you truly are a Christian, that you're walking with him. The presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives is the assurance of our salvation. They will be able to ask whatever they wish, and it will be given to them. Wow, that's Jesus' promise. Because they're living in relationship with Jesus, they will ask to bear more fruit and bring more glory to God. It doesn't mean to say, Jesus is not saying there, you know, well, I really fancy that Porsche that I saw in the car, the garage, or, you know, that much bigger house or whatever. He's not saying that. Because if we're full of the Holy Spirit, we'll be asking things, asking for the things in accordance with his Spirit, that will bring glory to his name, not to our name. But their wishes will be granted. They will live lives of abundant blessing. Fourthly, they will remain in Jesus' love. They will be inseparable from Jesus. They will be secure in Jesus' love for them and their love for him. And then fifthly, and finally, they will have the joy of the Holy Spirit within them. Have you got the joy of the Holy Spirit within you? That was about three people. joy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you are remaining in me, doesn't matter what the circumstances are, there will be a joy of the Holy Spirit within them. And you know, that is where the rubber hits the road. And it was a privilege to be with Barry the day before he died. It was a privilege to be with Barry just after he'd died and with Sarah. And I want to testify that there was a joy of the Holy Spirit within Barry. And the joy of the Holy Spirit that has brought Sarah here today. A brave and courageous thing to do when you've just lost your loved husband. And you know, that is where the rubber hits the road, isn't it, folks? You know, where there is a joy despite the circumstances, despite the losses, despite the pain, despite things not going as we had hoped and planned and dreamt. But when we've got the Holy Spirit within us, we see God's plan and purposes even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. It's knowing the Lord is my shepherd in every situation, in every circumstances, when we are there on the mountaintop and when we're in the deepest valley. It's knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us in the deepest and darkest times. Jesus said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Praise God. Who here wants to bear much fruit for Jesus? I do, certainly. We should all desire to bear much fruit for Jesus. Make sure you're connected to Jesus. Who here wants to be secure in God's love for them, confident that they're on the way to paradise? I do. Make sure you're remaining in Jesus. How do you remain in Jesus? By obeying God's word, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, by daily following and trusting in Jesus. Let's stand together as we pray. I'm going to ask Chyla and the team to come forward. Father God, Lord, we want to thank you that you are the vine. And Lord, that we as disciples are your branches. Lord, may each one of us be connected to Jesus. Lord, may each one of us be remaining in Jesus. And Lord, may each one of us just know that sap of the Holy Spirit rising up in our lives, Lord, that we may bear much fruit for the glory of your name, for the glory of the name of Jesus, Lord, for the extension of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, move amongst us as we celebrate, as we finish this celebration of harvest together, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen.